So it's evening, 3 days after the crucifixion, and 10 of the 11 remaining disciples are gathered together in a locked room for fear of the Jews. Thomas is the only one missing. And my husband's name being Thomas, he thought I should preach about Thomas today. But remember, earlier that morning, Jesus appeared to the women disciples who went out to the tomb, and now he's appearing to the men. Beginning in verse 2, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you withhold the sins from any, it is withheld." We see here that Jesus is laying the groundwork for the church. Jesus breathed on them to receive the Holy Spirit. And like Father Eric talked to us last week at Easter, themes in the Bible are often repeated. And this is especially true in John's Gospel. Quiz time. It opens with the same first three words as Genesis. In the beginning. A plus. And here in today's story, Jesus breathes on his disciples. And this should make us think again of Genesis, when God breathed and gave life to Adam. The disciples are to receive and proclaim new life in Jesus Christ. N.T. Wright sums it up this way: the disciples are to pronounce in God's name and by his Spirit the message of forgiveness to all who believe in Jesus. They are to retain sins, to warn the world that sin is a serious, deadly disease, and that to remain in it will lead to death. The disciples could not do this on their own. It is only by the Spirit. Continuing with our story, Thomas wasn't with the other disciples, as we know, when Jesus showed up that first time. So the disciples told Thomas, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." So the disciples told him, "I will never believe." And can you blame Thomas for doubting the testimony of the other disciples? Many others claim to be messiahs. At least 15 Jews within 100 years of Jesus made that claim. And Thomas doesn't want to be taken in. He can't get his hopes up again just to have them crushed. He wants solid evidence before he will believe. And I think that fits with the other times that we've seen Thomas in John's Gospel. In John chapter 11, Jesus shocks his disciples, saying, "Let us go to Judea again." And the disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews just now were seeking to stone you, and are you going there again?" Hearing about Lazarus' illness and then death, Jesus decides to go. Thomas invites his fellow disciples, saying, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." At this moment, Thomas is all in, actually stating that he is willing to die with Jesus. And in this next story from John 14, I feel a kinship with Thomas. I believe we have something in common. We are that person that the co-workers always pressure to ask the boss the difficult question or to give the complaint that everybody wants to give to the boss. I'm always seem to be that person. In Jesus' last moments alone with the disciples, he says, Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I not have told you that I go and prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may also be, and you know where I am going. Thomas says what everybody else is probably thinking, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, and I'm sure you know this scripture, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Now, if Thomas is recalling that conversation, I can understand why he doubts. Jesus told him that in me, you have seen God. So how could God be killed? Thomas has always been seeking understanding and truth. He and all the disciples left family and jobs to follow Jesus for 3 years. But after Jesus' death on the cross, without firsthand evidence of the resurrection, Thomas is just not willing to be all in. Time to cut his losses. And truly, Thomas wasn't the only one who was struggling. The other 10 disciples, who had seen the resurrected Jesus, complete with scars, the ones Jesus breathed on to receive the Holy Spirit, were meeting in a locked room 8 days later. This time, though, Thomas is with them. Jesus appears and matter-of-factly approaches Thomas and says, put your finger here, see my hands, and put your hand and place it in my side. Then, depending on how you look at it, Jesus gives Thomas an encouragement or a gentle rebuke. I prefer encouragement. Do not disbelieve, but believe. Thomas then exclaims, my Lord and my God. Thomas is the first person to see Jesus after the resurrection and call him God. He's back to being all in. And Jesus needed Thomas and the disciples to be all in, didn't he? I recently read an article in the Union Tribune that Palomar Health is offering a $100,000 incentive bonus to nurses to be paid out over 3 years. Of course, on the condition that the nurses keep working for Palomar Health. Now, Palomar Health is trying to prevent the nurses from taking jobs at Kaiser's new facility that they're building up in San Marcos. Because companies don't want to lose valuable employees and have to incur the costs of recruiting and training new ones. Those golden handcuffs are offered because retention of employees helps the bottom line. And of course, God can do anything he wants, but it is both beautiful and important for Jesus to retain his disciples, the ones who denied and abandoned him, even though he loved and invested in them for 3 years. The ones he taught to pray. The ones who witnessed the works of power. The ones that listened to all the parables. And especially the one who got a new name that meant the rock on whom the church would be built. They all needed to be retained and restored. Though the disciples believed in resurrection of the dead, I mean, they witnessed it with Lazarus, they didn't believe in a Messiah being resurrected from the dead. They didn't have a sense of a Messiah being God. But now Thomas has gotten it. My Lord and my God. As far as we know, Thomas continued to be all in. He was the disciple that traveled the farthest, spreading the good news in southeastern India, and he was martyred in Madras. Now, I imagine Thomas's testimony always included his story about doubting. If people questioned him, finding this account of Jesus hard to believe, he could say, "I know it. I didn't believe it either. When my friends told me, uh-uh. But then I saw Jesus for myself. I saw his scars, and he spoke to me, saying, 'Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed.' Now is where you and I come in." He's talking about us. During Jesus' crucifixion, the rulers watching taunted Jesus to prove himself to be the Christ of God by climbing down from the cross. But no one, not even Jesus' closest companions, thought of what would actually happen, that he would die and then come back. In his book, The Jesus I Never Knew, Philip Yancey writes, "Once the scenario played out, though, to those who knew Jesus best, it made perfect sense. The style fit God's pattern and character. God has always chosen the slow and difficult way, respecting human freedom regardless of cost." For the past year or so, I've served as a chaplain to the staff at the San Diego Rescue Mission. And in my time, I have learned that many of the staff members in the past have either experienced homelessness or been addicted to drugs or alcohol, or both. Well, when it comes to reaching the students that are in the program now, those staff have special credibility. They have street cred. They are the ones who can say, "This is what Jesus did for me. He delivered me from addiction. He got me off the streets. And if you stay in this program, you too can have a new life. Look at me." Serving at the Rescue Mission has reminded me of the power of testimonies to give hope. Jesus trusted the disciples to carry on preaching the message of salvation and forgiveness. And it is working, even if it's slow and difficult. Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit to empower us, and it is the Holy Spirit that draws people to Jesus. Jesus believed in his disciples and restored them. He also believes in and restores us. Okay, can you engage with me for a moment? If you know the Lord healed you in some way, either emotionally, physically, spiritually, given you the victory over an addiction, or hope when you were hopeless, companionship when you were lonely, if he restored your identity or relieved your pain, if he saved you from a besetting sin, would you raise your hand just for a second? Thank you. Some of you will find this hard to believe, but 20 years ago, I was afraid to speak in public and especially in church. But I was chosen to serve in a leadership position in a ministry where I had to speak at healing conferences and soaking prayer workshops. And I was super scared. I don't know if I should tell you this one, but one time I even climbed under a pew and hid and was afraid to speak. My husband had to pull me out. I wasn't going to say that one. But anyway, when I say super scared, I'm not joking. I was super scared. And I admitted this to one of the spiritual fathers in the ministry. I said to him, I'm really afraid to speak. And he said, I was hoping he would say, "Okay, you don't have to do it." But what he actually said to me changed my life. He said, it takes all types to reach all types. You will reach people I cannot reach because of who you are and your testimony. It takes all types to reach all types. And part of my testimony includes being angry at God. Now, I can talk to anyone about being angry at God and being loved by God and restored. You've also got your testimonies, powerful ones, and everyday ones where you know God answered a prayer. If you're here and you're not sure about Jesus, you can go talk to one of those people that had their hand in the air a few moments ago because they have seen Jesus. You can ask Jesus directly to reveal to you who he really is. Jesus doesn't mind answering questions for people who are genuinely seeking to understand, and neither do I. Jesus is still using signs and wonders to draw people to himself today. People of God, Jesus has equipped you to share the good news. Don't doubt, but believe. With your willingness to answer a question about your faith or to share your testimony, following the lead of the Holy Spirit, you might see the best thing ever. Someone may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, may have life in his name. Don't doubt, but believe. Amen.